I'll rephrase the question. How does one develop a relationship with a Brijbasi, Nitya Brijbasi, one of the Parishads of the Lord, in a particular sthayi bhav? First of all, we have to hear, we hear about Krishna and his pastimes, and his pastimes are with his devotees. And there are certain primary devotees that are interacting with the Lord in each rasa, and they're the exemplars of that rasa. In dasya ras, servitude or servitorship of the Lord, there are two primary devotees that are noted, Raktak and Patrak. They serve in Krishna's house, and you'll see their names come up many times in different scriptures about the different services that they render for the Lord in dasya ras, master and servant. And then there's that's in Dasya Bhav. Then in Sakya Bhav, then there's Sridham and Subal. These are the primary, most intimate servants of the Lord that render service. They're the archetypal cowherd boys. And then in Madhurya Ras, you have Lalita Sakhi and Vishakha Sakhi. And then Rupa and Rati Manjari. Then in Vatsalya Bhav, you have Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. They have the most deepest Vatsalya Bhav and the deepest expression of it. So Rupa Goswami explains that we read about Krishna and Vrindavan and all the different books that are given to us by the Gaudiya Vaishnavacharyas, and we read and we read and we read, and we associate with different devotees. And accordingly, we develop some attraction. Firstly, to some sthayi bhav, some particular mood of serving Krishna appeals to us, the general gist of it. Serving Krishna as a cowherd boy, or serving Krishna in a motherly, as a motherly affection, or serving Krishna in the mood of assisting his conjugal pastimes with Radharani. So first that has to come. First some inclination towards the sthayi bhav, and that doesn't come very easily or very quickly, even after lifetimes sometimes. So that'll be the beginning. It's kind of like looking at a mountain from a distance and you see some greenery there. That's all. Just some green color from a distance. As you get closer, you see that green color is different. It's trees. Then you move closer and you find there's different kinds of trees. Then you go even closer, enter the forest, and you find there's animals there and birds and all kinds of wildlife. So you're getting closer and closer to the actual definition of what's on the mountain. So it begins like that. So when one reads about Vrindavan, and then some awakening, some attraction comes, for whatever reason, due to his association in this life, or due to his association with saints from his last life, this is told in Jivadharma, which would have created sanskaras, an attraction, or due to some inborn inclination, which is what is told in our viewpoint, that each soul has some particular mood of love. So that awakens, so then you're interested in this category. You're interested, I'm interested in Madhurya Bhav, the conjugal relationship of Radha and Krishna and the gopis, their interaction. So then you say, well, who's serving here? Because we can't become Radharani and we can't become Krishna. And we can't become Lita Sakhi. There are certain fixed service posts. But as we read about the pastime of a particular rasa, then we read about the key servitors. Because the services of the key servitors will be delineated in the various Gaudiya Vaishnava scriptures. Lita Vishaka, Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari, etc. And other Manjaris will also write books. And we'll get to know about the services that are rendered. You know, the category of service. First you have the mellow, the devotional mellow, sthayi bhav, for example, Madhurya bhav. And then that's Radha and Krishna, they're the objects of service. Then who are the servitors? Then you read about them. And you read and you read and it's some attraction. You like you find out from Ujjala Nilamani and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And this comes. It's in the beginning we're just trying to control our senses and get some general conception of the thing. But then we get a very specific, as we become purified and familiar, our attraction becomes specified. It's not forced, it just arises by association. Just like if you associate with a person day in and day out, two things can happen. You can really like the way they operate and do things, and maybe like to be like them, or you can maybe dislike or have a neutral feeling about it. You're just, okay, they do what they do, I do what I do, but we work together, we in this business or whatever. Or I don't like, I've been with them and I see their character and habits and what they do and I don't like. So I withdraw. I'm disinterested. Or we may associate and work with them and say, well, I like something about his character, I like what he does, and we want to emulate that. We're interested in adopting that in our own life or following that. So then we read about them and we develop keen interest in them and serving like them. Can't become them, we can't become Rati Manjari, Rupa Manjari, but we can serve like them. We can render services to Radharani, for example. And we become very intensely desirous to be in their association. We want to be with them. We like that. We get to know, and then we can pray like Narottam Das is praying that Rupa Manjari Pad, you are my wealth. We sing the song, but we're just trying to get that idea. But Narottam Das is feeling Radha Krishna Pranamur. Sri Rupa Manjari Pad, Samora Sampad, that Rupa Manjari, you are my wealth. This is at the level of greed in Raghunuga Sadhana, that one feels like that, how Rupa Manjari feels, how Rupa Manjari serves, and this is all revealed in the books of the Goswamis. So then that's the beginning of Raghunuga Sadhana. It's not an easy, cheap thing to have this divine greed, this lobha. That's following a particular resonant, and following them, then you get guided by them, blessed by them, and inspired by them. And how they reciprocate, you'll find out when you follow them. Their feelings come into you. How that happens? It happens when you come to bhava. When you come to bhava, you feel like Rupa Manjari. In a given pastime, you identify. It's called taratmika. You identify. Nothing happens. Nothing happens except you're just praying and making advancement. And studying their books. And some mercy comes in the form of an intellectual understanding. And some mercy comes in the form that you can remember. But the ultimate thing is to enter the feelings, the bhava, gopi bhava, or samritabdi, to have that bhava. Bhava is bhava. So that bhava is given by them into our heart, directly through them, or through the shiksha or diksha guru, or through the super soul, or through yoga maya, these different ways. That Surup Shakti, which has the bhava, their hearts will come in the heart. Then you can be identify with them and feel as they feel and relate to the pastimes. So then in meditation, you'll enter in your siddhadeya and the same feeling that they have.
So how can we serve such personalities to please them and get their blessings?
By serving the guru. The blessings of the whole parampara come through the guru. Serving Rupa Manjari occurs in Siddhadeya to the level of bhava, in Manasi Puja, in Manasi Seva. So before that level, then we serve Rupa Goswami as sadhakas. This is told in Nectar Devotion, Vishnu Chakravarti Raghavartman Chandrika. How do we serve them and please them? By following Upadeshamrita, Vachavegam, Manasakrodavegam. Rupa Goswami wrote this book, so we follow their teachings as sadhakas. And living austere life, controlling the senses, always chanting the holy name, living in Vrindavan or remembering Vrindavan, all these type of activities. This is serving, carrying out the orders, carrying out the instructions of Rupa and Raghunath in nectar devotion, avoiding all the offenses. This is all part and parcel. Bhakti itself is serving and pleasing Rupa Goswami. He wrote the book about the manual of bhakti, and you don't know anything about it. And have no idea what's in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and don't have any idea what the thirty-two save aparats are in deity worship, and have no idea about the 64 limbs of devotion, no idea about the different types of devotees, or how to interact or behave with them. Then that's all disservice to Rupa Goswami. So he won't be pleased. You're not carrying out his order. So his order is being carried by the guru. The guru is teaching the shastras of the six Goswamis and encouraging you to read them. Have you read them? No. I read chapter one. And then the guru is always hammering, read, 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 and everyone's saying, I'm busy, busy, busy. Read, 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 follow, and realize. So the mercy comes through the guru who's representing the six Goswamis and teaching the teachings of the six Goswamis and hopefully living the teachings of the six Goswamis. So when you serve the immediate guru, you serve Rupa and Raghunath and you please them. And then, and by serving the guru and doing your bhakti bhajan, you rise, you know, you come to this, you get the greed because the guru has greed and that comes to you by serving the guru. Matsevam dwaram ahorami muttes. Door to liberation is opened by Mahat Seva, by serving Guru. Then he opens up the door to all these things.
You named four personalities, Lalita, Vishaka, Rati Manjari, and Rupa Manjari.
Yes.
Can't we follow some other residents of Vrindavan, like some other Sakis? Does it have to be one of these four?
These four are given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the shastras that are written by the six Goswamis. These are given as, first of all, Lalita Sakhi is a guru of every Sakhi. Rupa Manjari is a guru of every Manjari. So no matter who your Yukteswari is, group leader, or what Sakhi or Manjari you may be under, like some people are under a Nanga Manjari, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he lines himself up with a Nanga Manjari, but a Nanga Manjari is under Rupa Manjari. And Rupa Manjari is under Lalita. As I mentioned earlier, the Yukteswari of Raghunath Das Goswami is Vishakha Sakhi. Rati Manjari, his Yukteswari is Vishakha. So he serves Radharani through Vishakha. Rupa Manjari is underneath Lalita Sakhi. It's like this. So there's, and all these particulars are, this is revealed by Guru, and this all comes, at least our tradition, explain that this comes at the level of bhava.
So if you have not reached the level of bhava, can you still pray to these residents of Vrindavan?
You follow the standard path. The standard path is reading the books of the six Goswamis, and in their books they have prayers. You pray to them. Sri Rupa Manjari Pad. Narottam Das is praying to Rupa Manjari. When will your feet become my treasure? When will your guide? Your feet means your orders, your instructions. Now we want the feet of Rupa Manjari as Rupa Goswami to be our treasure. The rules and regulations, the meditations. This is the whole sum and substance.
So in other words, following the residents of Vrindavan as of now is just following the six Goswamis.
Yes, and following the Guru. When this question was asked Srila Prabhupada, you can also hear it on folio. It says, Srila Prabhupada, and your nectar devotionate, it says to attain Krishna Prema, or to attain love for Radhana Krishna Vrindavan, we must, it's absolutely essential, we must follow a resident of Vrindavan. But we don't know any residents in Vrindavan. But Srila Prabhupada, you have come from Vrindavan, you are a resident of Vrindavan, so can we follow you? Because you're a resident of Vrindavan that we know. And we know how to follow you to some extent. So if we follow you, is that following a resident of Vrindavan? And Prabhupada said, yes. But generally, as I mentioned, I'll reiterate, following a resident of Vrindavan has different levels because the residents of Vrindavan have different forms. The teachers that we're following, they have a form in Gaur Lila and a form in Krishna Lila. In Gaur Lila, they come as teachers. In Krishna Lila, they're relishing. And they're also teaching, interestingly enough. They're teaching the nuances and sciences of prema and how to serve Radharani when she enters in the different moods of sneha and man and pranaya and rag and anurag. So this is all being taught in Boma Vrindavan to the Sadaka Manjari and Siddha Sarup. And this level, we're being taught by Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami. We read the Stavavali, we read the books, their books. And ultimately it's all under guidance of Guru. The Guru is directing us according to our adhikara. We don't just try to swallow everything at one moment. This is why this first Vachuvegam Anasakrotavegam. That's the first instruction, nectar instruction. and living in the banks of Shamakunda, Radhakunda, one Siddhadeya, and engaging in Manasi Seva, that's after you've crossed all the other ones. Tadati Pratigrihanati Bhunkte Bhojayate Jeva. Learn to control the senses and become a spiritually situated personality. Then when you're a spiritually situated personality, then learn the art of loving. Learn the art of loving the members, the people that are tangible. Because how can you love the intangible until you learn to love the tangible? God is intangible. You can't see or touch God. But you can see the devotees. You can touch the devotees. So learn the art of loving the devotees. Now we're so envious of devotees and so competitive and envious and critical and fault-finding with each other. So we know the art of hating the devotees. So this is also following Rupa Goswami. What does it mean to follow Rupa Manjari? What does it mean to be a follower of the Brijvasi's Rupa Manjari? It means to be a follower of Rupa Goswami, the Brijvasi Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami is also a Brijvasi. And he's given, you want to follow me? Follow my teachings. Like someone says, oh Maharaj, I want to be your Someone comes to me and says, Maharaj, I want to be your follower. What does that mean? When I go to the bathroom, you walk into the bathroom with me? You follow me into the bathroom? And when I walk down the street, you walk. That means following? What does it mean? What does it mean to you?
Instructions. Follow the instructions.
Follow the teachings, the instructions. What is it? Let me ask you a question. When you go to a saintly person and you say, oh saintly person, please give me your mercy. What do you mean by mercy? What is your idea of mercy? What does it mean to... You say, please give me your mercy. What does that mean to you? Mercy is an object, is a quality. When one follows a teacher in the school and he gets instructions from the school teacher, the teacher has mercy to give to that student. And what is the mercy he has? He has knowledge. The mercy takes the shape of knowledge. So when a student of biology follows the instructions of the biology teacher, then the biology teacher, pleased with the student who follows, gives that student knowledge of biology. Now the guru, when the guru gives instructions, the guru has, of course, transcendental knowledge, but the guru, what object or what entity that the guru has that we want? When we go to high school in the biology class, we want the knowledge of biology to come to us from this teacher, right? Or we go to dance school, the mercy we want from this teacher is the art of dance. We want to learn the art of dancing. So she will give us so many instructions, teachings, instructions. So the guru will give instructions, and if we follow those instructions and please the guru will give us Krishna Bhakti. Krishna, bhakti means Krishna, devotion. He will give us Krishna, because the guru has Krishna. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado. Right? And we obtain Krishna from guru. So we don't follow the instructions, then we don't get the mercy, and the mercy means Krishna, Krishna bhakti. And if we don't follow the instructions of the school teacher, then we don't get the knowledge of biology. So mercy... You're saying mercy means instructions, but ultimately mercy is an entity, an attainment. Kripa. Kripa karo. What? Because a devotee wants Krishna, a student wants knowledge. A wife says to her husband, give me mercy. It means give me money or whatever. I don't know what. Give me your mercy, give me money, or give me sense gratification or something. So at the beginning level, I suppose we would take Prabhupada's example here that following the residence of Vrindavan means in the beginning to follow the guru. If he has some footing in Vrindavan or he has some connection with Vrindavan, and that's where we want to be connected, and he has some familiarity with Vrindavan or the moods or mellows of Vrindavan, then if we're connected with a guru like that, then there's a chance that we'll also come to this position of eagerness or greed or whatever. because he'll guide us in reading particular things or engaging particular activities, which will create samskaras, bhakti samskaras, and impressions in our mind and heart, which will all add up to attraction to Vrindavan, and will all add up to attraction to particular residents of Vrindavan. It comes by in this way, by hearing, by serving. As I often say, can you love someone you never heard about? Now, I want you to love a man you never met and never heard about. It's impossible. Can you desire something you never heard about? Desire nothing. But when you hear, if you hear, and then, oh, this is interesting. I have a desire to attain this. Haribo. Nature means our svabhav. There's two svabhavs. There's a material svabhav, and you're saying is that there's two svabhavs. There's material svabhav and spiritual svabhav. There's body nature and atma nature. Atma svabhav and deha svabhav, or sharir svabhav. So when we're embodied, we have body svabhav. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, matsarya. Krishna is saying very correctly and perfectly, no one knows human nature better than Krishna. And he's saying in Bhagavad Gita, Icha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata sarvabhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa. 7th chapter of Gita, 27th verse. O Saina Bharat, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities, arisen from desire and hate. Icha dvesha, desire and hate. So it says that all living entities, sarvabhuta, sam moham, they're completely bewildered. They're bewildered. Every one of us, everyone in the material world is bewildered by two forces, the force of desire and the force of envy. Envy, hatred, disgust, dislike. This is our basic outlook in life. So to envy your friends, or to envy your sister, or to envy your cousin, or envy your mother, or envy anyone, your boss, school friend, it's the svabhav of the embodied soul, the conditioned soul. These are the characteristics. These are the basic characteristics. Water is wet. Sugar is sweet. Red chili is hot. Isn't it? It's a nature, dharma, svabhav, the mentality, the outlook. So that's natural. As a man and woman in this world, be envious and hateful. But that's not the original nature. The original nature is something different. Now we desire the material things, and in a purified nature, we desire spiritual things. Now we have hatred and envy, when our consciousness is purified, then we have harmony and love, appreciation, gratitude. And then we find out, when we read about the spiritual world, there's another world called the spiritual world, and we read about the living entities there and the people there, if you want to call them people, and we're people, we're called people. They're called Nityaparishads, or the residents of the spiritual world, how they relate to each other. There's no envy, all these things are not there. There's mutual cooperation, there's mutual gratitude, everyone's working together. There's different flavors of emotions, different expressions of emotions, but they're not divisive. And they're not divisive emotions, they're not destructive emotions. All the expressions of emotions, the variegated emotions that are displayed in the spiritual world among Krishna and all his beloveds, they're all harmonizing, and they're all for the pleasure of Krishna. Even though it may appear like what we call jealousy, that Radharani is jealous of Chandravali or vice versa. But this is not, there's not divisive, it's not hateful, it's not coming from, it's all fun and everyone just laughs and jokes about it. No one gets vicious and there's no murders up there, and there's no poisoning and terrorism, and Chandravali doesn't poison spike Radharani's drink with cyanide one day and finish her off because she's a competitor. But when two girls are in love with one man, then there's this vicious envy, and someone gets killed, and it becomes an Indian movie. And tragedies and pathos. There's nothing like this. So there's only some, these words are used, but the shape and the shape of their jealousy, it's love-filled jealousy. Love-filled envy or love-filled jealousy. And Mother Yashoda is angry. She's angry. I'm going to beat you, Krishna. But there's no, it's love-filled. And then she just drops it and laughs and it's all over. But here when you get angry with somebody, you want to kill your husband. Yeah, I'm angry, I want to kill him. You know, this is not love-filled anger. This is envy, hatred-filled anger. So you see, Mother Yashoda, angry, oh, I'm going to beat you. But then he goes, oh, mommy. And when she drops her stick, and oh, starts kissing him and giving him sweets. So even what we, oh, someone says, oh, there's anger in the spiritual world. Mother Yashoda was angry, and I get angry, I want to kill my husband. And so Yashoda's like me. This is quite wrong. Because our basic operating, our basic software, Celeron or Intel, our basic operating software is Icha and Dvesha, material desire and hatred, envy, competition, dog eat dog. This is the material world. Me first, you never. not even me first, you second. Me first, I live, you die. Or submit. You either die or submit to my will. This is how it's going to be. This is the material world. So this is, the spiritual world is not like this. So you read this, you're not, another order of relationship, another type of... So we're struggling and fighting and competing and destroying and putting down. That's all in this world. It's all, but there it's another order. And that's why it's so attractive. Because sensitive, innocent, pure-hearted people, they have an intuition within themselves that there must be a better life. There must be a better world. There must be a higher dimension, a higher reality, where there's sensitive people, loving people, giving people, cooperative people. Is it possible? So we try to make a better world. We try to make Walden Pond and Oroville and alternative communities and idyllic societies, and let's get a commune and buy 300 acres of property in Tennessee, and we'll all live together happily ever after, and love and peace, and a few herbs and spices thrown in there, and we'll live off the land, and everyone will cooperate, and peace brother. Then pretty soon you're stealing my girlfriend and I'm stealing yours, and then you have a kid, and then there's all war and crime and just a microcosm of the major society. Because there's no God there, and we're not in spiritual bodies. As long as we're in material bodies, then we have all kinds of material feelings like Icha and Dvesha. These are our constant enemies, desire and hatred. So this is the whole process of self-realization, to realize the pure self, to shed the caterpillar skin and fly off with our butterfly wings and our polka-dotted pink and green back. Now we're some black fuzzy, black and brown fuzzy caterpillar eating leaves and munching on tree bark. But then when we become butterflies, we don't eat tree bark anymore. We don't munch on leaves. What do butterflies eat? Nectar. Lotus nectar, rose nectar, kadamba nectar, makarande. Rupa Goswami Stavamala is one prayer. Krishna Deva Bhavantam Bande Manamana Samanakara Manamana Samanakara Arpaya Nijapada Pankaja Makarande. When will the bee of Madhukara of my mind, When will it relish and drink the sweet nectar at the lotus feet of Krishna? This is butterfly life, drinking nectar from flowers, sweet nectar. But caterpillar life is eating neem tree bark and chewing on leaves. So sadhana bhakti means to get purified, become real. Slow and steady wins the race. Whatever, we're not perfect, but there is perfection that's possible. Otherwise, why be a human being? We can change our nature, because this nature is superimposed, it's artificial. It's not really us.